And instead of doing the public hearing and work session on LC 4133, we'll wait until we have a few more folks here, and we'll go ahead with the Capital Planning Commission. Welcome, and come forward, and Sarah.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, today we have the Capital Planning Commission. We're fortunate we have Doug Capps, the Executive Director, and Carl Myers, Chair of the Board with us. Capital Planning Commission is responsible for seeing that the Capital Mall area and the Salem area is developed well using state facilities and state lands. And they work with the general public and local agencies to ensure that we don't violate planning and zoning codes. So it's entirely other funded with assessments by agencies that are located in the Salem area.
Okay, thank you, Dallas. On our schedule, Senator Dukes, we're going ahead with the Capital Planning Commission. Okay. Who's going to be first?
Madam Chair, if I might, for the record, Carl Myers. I am the chair of the Capital Planning Commission, have been for on the Capital Planning Commission for 12 years and served as chair for the last five or six, I think. It is a pleasure to be here. This will probably be my last appearance in front of the Ways and Means as my term on the Capital Planning Commission will expire this summer. But again, it's a pleasure for me to be here and to present our budget. I live in and work in Salem, serve as a public member to the Capital Planning Commission. There are three public members, only one of which can be from the Salem area. We have a public member from the coast and a public member from Eugene, both with wide experience, vast experience in land use planning, historic development and preservation, and similar kinds of experience. Doug Capps, the Executive Director, and Sarah will go through the budget. I am here only to answer any questions you may have about the work of the Commission from the Chair's point of view, but the capable Executive Director, who, by the way, also served as a Chair of the Capital Planning Commission before he became the Executive Director, so Doug Capps' experience is even more vast, I should say, than mine. Thank you.
Thank you. Who's going to go first? Sarah, are you going to go first?
Oh, sure, why not?
Okay.
Let's do that. It's Monday.
So enthusiastic.
Charge on ahead.
Makes
you sick. Yeah. Oh, thank you. I could be morose. Come on.
Now, let's just let her go. It may be catching.
For the record, Sarah Gates, Budget and Management, and as usual, you have my presentation in front of you, and this one's a really simple one, so this one we should just fly through. First page, or page two, I guess, is the official number on it, just shows you the expenditure level for the Capital Planning Commission over the last few biennia. The current recommended budget is $266,000, and they have two positions, 1.63 full-time equivalent. Turning to the next page, you can see what the governor's recommended budget will do for this agency. Basically, it allows them to continue doing what they're doing already. There is a small technology enhancement in the budget, and I will talk about that in a little bit when I get to the policy packages. And there is enough ending balance for this agency that if workload should increase due to the planning on the State Fair, Fairview, other unforeseen projects, they could up their full-time equivalency just by bringing the staff up to full-time to deal with an unexpected workload. So page four is the standard pie chart that shows you the split between services and supplies and personal services. Being such a small agency, they are very heavily weighted towards personal services expenditures. Page five, there really were no emergency board actions other than the salary pot adjustment that occurred in February of 2000. And the current service level adjustments are minimal. It's just technical adjustments due to changes in inflation rates and personnel, slight personnel adjustments. Nothing exciting there. So the excitement part here is on page six, they have one policy package, and that is for some technology modernization, and it has a cost of a little less than $17,000, other funds, and it would develop and maintain a web page for the agency and link their offices to the other state networks. Currently, the Capital Planning Commission is not on the state wide area network, and because they're in one of the little houses that's up by the archives building. And the plan is for them to be able to link into the state network and actually be part of the email system and all of that type of interconnectivity. One thing that is in their favor is we may not need all of the money in this package because the North Mall Historic District is currently planned to be undertaken this biennia, and their house that they occupy is part of that, and so they may get linked all that interconnectivity anyway and not have to pay for it. It may come out of facilities, so that, you know, it all comes from the same pot, but it may not be in their budget. So if they were not to need those expenditures, it would just not be spent, and that would be additional money in their ending balance. Under fee or revenue changes, just a couple of comments about how the agency is funded. It is a statewide assessment that is based on full-time equivalency positions, so all other state agencies pay money as part of the state government service charge that is then transferred by the Department of Administrative Services to the Capital Planning Commission. Their assessment has increased from $261,000 in the 99-01 biennia to $281,000 in the 01-03 biennia. And the increase was set by the Department of Administrative Services with discussions with the agency about what their needs would be, but it's a very minor increase. There are no technical adjustments to this budget, so that's all I have except for questions.
Okay, thanks, Sarah. Any questions of Sarah? Senator Duke?
It's not a question, it's a comment. I think we better pass this fast before whoever normally sells the state agencies their technical, their computer stuff finds these people, because... Even the one person agencies don't do it this cheap. So. I'm not going to ask any questions. I'm impressed here.
Good news, huh? Representative Hayden.
If there are no real adjustments in the current service level, is it the policy package that drives the current service level to 6.7%?
Madam Chair, Representative Hayden, that is correct.
Comment, Madam Chair.
Yes, Representative Hayden.
Well, I've noticed a lot of our budgets are running above current service level, and during my tenure here, I've always thought that current service level was a very generous allotment, very generous to increase budgets just more or less routinely to current service level, which is always more than the previous biennium's cash allocation.
Except in this case.
Yeah, except in this case, that's true.
Isn't this more?
Well, not current service level, though. It's actually a decrease of $3,000 from the 99-01.
So it is.
Not
well,
much.
How can current service level be going up 6.7, Sarah, and still be less than the previous session?
Madam Chair, Representative Hayden, that change from 2001-03 CSL means that the recommended budget is 6.7% larger than the 2001-03 current service level budget. So it's the difference between the $266,000 and the $249,000 in the column to the left of that. So if it's the difference between the column entitled 2001-03 current service level,
yep,
and the 2001-03 governor's recommended budget.
Yep.
Okay, that's the difference.
All right. But my question is, I thought current service level was always some multiple of the previous biennium, and the previous biennium was $252,000.
Madam Chair, Representative Hayden, you are correct in that it is based on the prior biennia. However, there were changes to their inflation amounts. I'm guessing that's probably state government service charges that decreased, and so it was a negative $6,800, and
that
overwhelmed any personal services adjustments upward and other inflation like attorney general. The other comment is this agency has a very small line item for attorney general, which is one of the biggest drivers of agency current service level increases. So.
Thank you. No, I stand corrected, Madam Chair.
fine. We want to be clear on these things. We have no questions.
Madam Chair.
Representative Butler.
Question. This is one of the small commissions that we did get a modest break for that on the government service charges for Department of Administrative Services. Is that right? And so that overtakes the increases in wages and so forth, as Representative Hayden has indicated, that the compensation for that.
You have 40 motions, right, Senator Duke?
No.
Just kidding. Any other questions?
Just a question of Dallas. If with the construction of the build-out and North Mall building, the information technology becomes available directly to these folks, then at that point, then we don't have the issue of the $16,846, which is the difference between the current service level and the governor's recommended, which is policy option package 100. That just goes into the cash carryover in the next session?
If I may, Madam Chair, Senator Butler. There's two portions to that policy package. A little over $10,000 is set aside for web page development and updates. Those funds would still be used even with the North Mall Historic District expansion. The cost to link to the local area network is estimated at $7,500, and that amount of funding may not be needed. It just depends on timing and how everything works out, but budget and management will be working with the agency on whether the Capital Planning Commission needs to spend those funds or not.
Follow up.
Yes, sir.
Sarah, the $10,000 web page, I really have a real difficult time with that, because I know that I've got a web page here and a web page in my office in Ontario, and I know I didn't pay $10,000 for that and all of the equipment that's attached to it. Is that what's the reason for the high cost of a web page of $10,000?
Madam Chair, Representative Butler, I believe that the agency worked with the Department of Administrative Services Transportation Print Services Division, Print Services Purchasing Division, and to develop that cost estimate. I don't know a lot of details. Part of that is upkeep, the fees for updates during the biennium, but Doug, do you have additional information on
that? No, that's, Madam Chair, Representative Butler, that is the answer. We tried to estimate that as best we could, but the state does provide that service, and we asked specifically for a recommendation from them as to what the web page development would be. If there's a more cost-effective way to do that, we'd certainly want to do that.
Well, which brings me right to my point of about 10 years ago trying to get rid of this printing division. If we have estimates for $10,000 web pages, not your fault, just have to blow off on Monday. Oh, man. Okay. Representative Butler, did you have further questions?
Yes, I would like to follow up the assessment. I had understood the assessment was based upon square footage, and what I'm hearing today is the assessment is based upon number of employees, the actual revenue assessment.
Madam Chair, Representative Butler, that is what the price list says. I was not involved in developing it, but I'm basing on, there's an official price list that is published every biennium by the Department of Administrative Services Budget Management, and the description of the assessment is that it's allocated among state agencies based on budgeted full-time equivalent position authority.
Here it says the assessment against state agencies based upon the space owned or occupied by the agency.
Oh, cool.
I'm reading from
Would you like us to double check on which is correct?
Maybe we could have that identified. I've got both opinions at this particular point, Sarah. So, Mr. Katz, would you?
Well, to tell you the truth, I'm not sure that I can clarify that myself, because we don't actually do the assessment. We rely on the Department of Administrative Services to do that. And frankly, I've seen it both ways. I've seen it on the price list as a FTE allocation, and I've seen it in the past as a square footage allocation.
Okay. Why don't we, I would be happy to double-check on that, and I will get back to you through Dallas.
If I may, Madam Chair, members of the committee, it's our understanding, and I apologize for some confusion, but it is our understanding that the assessment also was to those agencies located in the Marion Polk County area surrounding Salem, so it wasn't all state agencies. But we can check on that for you. I would appreciate that. And then while we're doing that, maybe we could have, will this go through the IT sub by any chance? And we have e-government look at this?
We can certainly schedule it. We have some time spaces slotted for small agencies before that subcommittee.
Yeah, I'd like to see us do that where we don't have necessarily a mandate to work a work session on this right away. So that 10,000 plus or minus, and then the 7,500 plus or minus we could get a better pick on that. And then those have been scaled back. There's been some savings evidently on that, because the total of the 10 plus the 7,500 is the 17,000 that originally was requested. 17,596 was the budget requested amount, and the governor's recommended budget is a decrease from that by about $1,000. So
$750.
Madam
Chair, if I and
yes.
Representative Butler, if I could clarify that, I think an adjustment was made as we were going through the budget process for us to, and that's very sharp of you to notice that little difference. If we are to hook up to the state net program or the state net system, we are currently purchasing an internet connection with our budget allocation, and that amount would drop out if we were connected to the state net. So that's close to $1,000 difference that we spend a year or a biennium.
Thank you very much. $750 reduction there.
Mm-hmm.
And say that's the connectivity, is what that is?
Essentially that's our current charge for our access to the internet and the email system that we have. We subscribe to the Oregon EdNet system.
I see. Is that, Madam Chair, I'm interested, have you had good success with the EdNet program?
Absolutely. We signed up for it initially. As you can tell, you know, we're not what you'd call a large budget with lots of frills, and we just shopped for the best internet access that we could, and it was provided through Oregon Internet. We've been on it as long as we've been, you know, we've had access to the internet and email.
Madam Chair, if I might, it almost seems to me if it's been successful, really, maybe we ought to look at this from the other side, and that would be that you toggle the state switches when they want to look at the states, when they want to look at capital planning, that they toggle back into one that's presently successful, and that is, you know, that on the state system it would come back into the capital planning commission. But you still have the issue of a web page. My webmaster back in my office, I can't get in touch with him before 3:30 because middle school doesn't let out before that.
If I may make just one comment about their email connection and internet connection, if you use a dial-up access other than a continuous connection, which is what they would have as part of the state system, they would also be on the state email list, so rather than having to know that the Capital Planning Commission has a separate EdNet email address, it would just be simply dougcash@state.or.us, which is the common email address for all state employees, mm-hmm. and there are very few agencies that are not on that. So there are benefits to having them as part of the system.
And I don't understand, Sarah, that all of the technology issues, but it looks like to me for about $30 a month or $700 a biennium, you could have another telephone line put in and have a dedicated line full time, so that the dial-up connection is 100% all the time, and you got it for $700 a biennium as opposed to
$10,000. I will not argue with
Representative Butler. That's why I say if you go to some certified smart people of the government for their blessing.
I just had one question on your in-state travel. Is that just per diem for members? $2,086 in state.
Madam Chair, yes, that's the for our commission members for commission meetings.
So they have probably per diem and overnight?
Not, never overnight, but per diem and mileage expense. We have one member from Eugene, one member from Portland. As our chair indicated, we have one member from Salem. So it's really just two out-of-town members. The rest of our commission is made up of the mayor of Salem, the president of the Salem Planning Commission, and then two legislators, and they do not receive a per diem, and at least from the Capital Planning Commission budget.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're so well paid anyway, they shouldn't have a per diem. Okay, so you probably meet how often?
We are now meeting on a schedule of about every 2 months. We also have a design review committee that's for specific projects that require design review, although we have not historically paid them a per diem, but they do attend public meetings that we schedule.
Well, the people, the mayor of Salem obviously wouldn't get a per diem, or the person that lives in Salem, so it'd just be the Portland Eugene people that get per diem and mileage.
And what is that per diem figure? I'm sure.
Well, yeah, Representative Hayden, go ahead. How much do they get paid per diem?
I believe it's, I'm guessing, but I believe it's maybe 20, you know?
I don't get it.
I'm writing out about all these perks.
Well, you don't get mileage, but
no, yeah, I do.
I think it's $24 a meeting.
I think it's $30 a meeting.
30?
And everybody gets that except the legislators, like you said.
Well, and city and the state members don't. It's just the public members that get
the public members. Okay.
The three public members.
Representative Hayden.
Thank you.
Oh, go ahead. Do you have a question?
No. Oh, no. That was my answer. Well, just to comment that that's substantially less than the federal per diem.
Mm-hmm. Or Senator Duke.
Representative Butler was pursuing the web page, and I guess my question is even a little more basic. Why do you need a web page?
Madam Chair and Senator Dukes, that's a good question, actually. You know, as we all become more interactive with technology, well, one of the things that we've noticed as we've looked at our sort of fellow state agencies is many of them are utilizing a web page as a way to communicate more effectively, not only with within the state system but also externally. We administer 8 area plans, master plans for areas within this Marion and Polk County, and we get frequent questions, particularly as projects are coming to us for review, as to what are the guidelines within those master plans that state agencies are then required to follow. And in each case, of course, then we have to, you know, take the master plan and either ship it to that person that's inquiring, the facilities person at, you know, State Lottery, for example, we're working with closely, or we take pages out of that master plan and communicate it in other ways. And so one of the ideas that we have is to place all of those master plans on a web page so that people can have direct access. That would be sort of a long-range view. In the short term, we feel it would be helpful when we hold public meetings and we get members of the public, particularly from neighborhoods around Salem, if there's a particular issue at the state penitentiary or state fair, for example, that we're spending quite a bit of time on now, to have access to the information that we are dealing with as we hold our public meetings, so they would have direct access to our agenda and the materials that are being sent around in advance of those meetings, so that they have a better opportunity to respond.
Even if somebody is able to whittle the $10,000 down to a lot less, it seems like an awful lot of money to get some plans out to two counties when you reside in one of those counties. And in terms of plans, if you're working on the state fairgrounds,
mm-hmm.
and there are plans, I'm sure the state fair board has a website. And with email these days and the other things, and most agencies have them, but they have them because they're providing some type of direct service to the people of the state of Oregon. And yours is so much narrower, and it's to people who are right around you. And it sounds as though it's really when you're in the middle of a project that you have, or planning for a specific project. And since you don't do 30 projects a year, I guess to Rummy Butler, my question would be, do you really need a website, especially if it's going to cost us the $10,000 that we were talking about? I know state agencies have them, and I guess we never ask why.
Question we asked is recently how many hits do you actually have on that site? The question then becomes, you do have staff, you have a 0.83 FTEs and the budget for copying things if people come in, but there must be a copy charge too if people walk in and need copies of things. I think you collect a copy charge. I think it's a great question because the scope is necessary.
Any further questions? Mr. Capps, if you'd like to make your presentation, we take, it's 9:15 now, we take a break at 9:30. I don't know if it'll take you that long, but if you'll wrap it up by 9:30, and if we have questions, we'll come back to you after the break. Good morning, and if you'll introduce yourself for the record.
Thank you. I'm Doug Capps. I'm the Executive Director of the Capital Planning Commission, Madam Chair, and members of the committee. First of all, we're pleased to have the opportunity to present our budget. As has been acknowledged, our budget is small. We feel that our reach is significant, and I hope in the second half century of our existence of this little agency that we can continue to return good value for the resources that are provided to us. The mission, and I'm pretty much following the outline that was given to us, but we'll condense it somewhat because not only because of the time, but because of the nature of our agency. But to quote from the agency narrative on page 3, our mission is to assure that the capital improvements and land use changes of state agencies on state-owned property conform to a long-range plan, a master plan of development. And as I've indicated, we have 8 of those plans in the Salem area. And in addition to that, to make sure that these capital projects are consistent with local planning guidelines and community interests. It's also the mission of the Capital Planning Commission to facilitate communication and consultation between state agencies, between state and local government, and to provide a forum for community participation in capital planning and capital projects. So, when we look at the way in which we sort of allocate the resources that are available to us, we are really engaged in 2 primary activities. And sometimes those are happening simultaneously, and sometimes they happen when one is happening and the other doesn't. So I'll explain that. The commission staff of 2, as you've noticed, it's a 1.63 FTE that resulted from a post-Measure 5 reduction across the board. That's the reason for the odd number. It's a basic, and along with a basic operational budget just for rent and phones and supplies, we carry out these 2 functions. One is when a capital project is involved, an application is made to us, just as if a developer were to make an application to a local planning commission in a local jurisdiction. So we function in that capacity to review those projects, analyze them, ask what community interests are involved in that project, make a determination as to whether or not there are adverse impacts. And in addition to that, we measure those projects, assuming that they are within one of the areas that we have jurisdiction over, and that jurisdiction is established through master plans that have been adopted by the commission and made a part of the Oregon administrative rules. So we measure those projects against those standards to determine whether or not the project is consistent with long-range planning guidelines.
Ms. Johnson, just to put this overview in context, could you give some examples of the kind of plan submissions that would come to you?
Madam Chair and Representative Johnson, yes. For example, currently, the Capital Planning Commission is spending quite a bit of time with the Department of Administrative Services Facilities Division on the construction of a a building on the North Mall section, just up the street here a ways, that has been a part of a master plan for probably the last 15 years, but finally received funding from the legislature. That is a building that's actually, it's a complex of buildings, three, that have been funded for this and the next biennium to house, I think what has been, at least in our plan, called the Natural Resources Complex, located adjacent to the state lands building. So that project would come to us at an early stage for siting to determine whether or not the footprint of that building is consistent with the master plan that was developed for that. What are the programs that will be housed in those facilities, and a sort of an early look at whether or not the concept for that building is consistent with the design guidelines for the Capitol Mall.
Follow-up, Madam Chair. I guess that speaks sort of directly to my point, and I don't mean to be disrespectful, but if DAS is ultimately, Department of Administrative Services, is ultimately responsible for the ownership of these state buildings, why don't they do your job? I mean, why shouldn't all of that reside with the Department of Administrative Services?
Madam Chair and Representative Johnson, we have a very close working relationship with DAS. One could make the argument, I suppose, that if we were just a part of, or someone were a part of DAS, that we could carry out those functions. But there is a sense of sort of an independent review of specific projects, not from a cost perspective, because we don't get involved on the cost side, but just as a planning commission in a local community might review the plans of a developer, we view the development plans of state agencies as the developer against which their plans are to meet certain standards, and to not be disrespectful to the state agencies that come to us, there are times when they would prefer, either for reasons of convenience or efficiency or cost or whatever, prefer to kind of ignore or shave budgets or not meet specific guidelines. I don't mean to suggest that we add significant cost to projects, but the fact that this Capitol Mall, which is where the Capitol Planning Commission really began its life, has the appearance and the sort of master planning ethic that's been that you can see evidenced here is really a result of the work of the Capitol Planning Commission.
Yes, Representative Johnson.
So let's assume that, just for the sake of conversation, this natural resources complex was designed in a very futuristic, modernistic architectural style. Would you be the point then if citizens in Salem found that incompatible with the look of the mall, or frankly, if a citizen in Burns found that inconsistent with the look of the mall, would you be the point of interface between that citizen and the architectural rendering?
Madam Chair and Representative Johnson, yes, but in fact, we wouldn't need a citizen from Burns to make that objection. We have already established design guidelines for the Capitol Mall that building would have to conform with. And we have, as I mentioned earlier, but only ever so briefly, we have a design review group, a professional group of architects that meets in particularly for projects in sensitive areas, design areas, like the Capitol Mall, to take a look at those projects in advance, work with the architects of those projects to assure that they're meeting very high design standards. And in addition to that, we have not only the design standards on the Capitol Mall, but we have a historic standard. This building that we're in, not this one, but the Capitol itself, does have historical significance. So we are trying to manage, particularly projects on the Capitol Mall, manage the design of those projects in a way that's compatible with the design guidelines for the mall as a whole.
Madam Chair, if I might, again, Carl Myers, Chairman of the Capitol Planning Commission. Representative Johnson, the answer to your question directly is yes, we are the only forum by which the public, in this area, it is the neighborhood associations of the City of Salem and their City of Salem Planning Commission. We are really the only forum by which there is any kind of public review of any of the buildings on the mall, any of the capital projects in the Salem-Polk County area. We sprung from statute back in the late 40s, early 50s.
This year, beginning in 1949.
To essentially operate as an interface between the two governments, but we have expanded that role to include not only the City of Salem and the State of Oregon, but the local neighborhood associations and interest groups that may be impacted by a project. I like to say that our job, what we bring, the most important thing that we bring to the table in these projects is the table itself, for so that people can come in and make sure that their government, their state government, is acting in concert with the local government, so that the City of Salem doesn't put undue restrictions on the development of the mall and these areas, and vice versa. The State of Oregon takes into consideration the local city and community interests when they develop a building. Traffic and not only aesthetics, but traffic and other impacts on the community.
Thank you. Representative Johnson, do you have another question?
Just back to my fundamental premise of why it is that that function couldn't occur in the Department of Administrative Services. And I know coming after a 50-year-old tradition probably makes you some kind of a pariah. But I just am curious the efficacy of having a secondary review process.
Madam Chair, Representative Johnson, it isn't really a secondary review process. It's really the primary review process. It is the interface between state government and the rest of the community. You know, and perhaps I could also mention, you know, I've read the history, this 50-year-old history of the Capital Planning Commission, and it's been interesting to me to watch the evolution of the commission. And then initially, its purpose was focused primarily on the Capitol Mall, simply to preserve land. As state government was expanding, and without going into all of the details of that, there was a private development that was proposed for across the mall from the state library, and that's what brought the Capital Planning Commission into existence, to preserve land for the expansion of state functions. But it evolved into a larger jurisdiction within Salem and in Marion County and Polk County to do another thing, and that was to provide, as our chair has indicated, to provide the kind of interface between this expansion of state government and local communities. This property on the Capitol Mall and in other areas of the City of Salem is typically zoned public service, and which essentially means for land use planning purposes, the state can virtually do whatever it wants on public service zoned land. Well, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be in the best interest of the City of Salem or a particular neighborhood for that project to go forward without some consideration of the same kinds of things that the City of Salem would impose on a developer if a private developer were doing the same kind of project. So things like traffic impacts and noise and where are employees going to be and those kinds of considerations then sort of fall to us. The City of Salem then relies on the Capital Planning Commission to provide that independent review. And our decisions are quasi-judicial decisions that are appealable to the Land Use Board of Appeal, to ALUBA. So we sit in kind of that in-between place between state government as a developer or a project manager and the sort of comprehensive plans that we administer that are comparable to a comprehensive plan of a local jurisdiction.
Thank you. Representative Hayden.
Well, yeah, actually, Madam Chair, I think there are several bills. I've seen several bills that address the issue of the state assuming legal powers above those of other citizens and municipalities. But that being aside, Mr. Administrator, is the natural resource complex that's being discussed here, is that the same as the one we heard in the forestry budget? Is that the forestry budget?
Madam Chair, Representative Hayden, members of the committee, I'm not exactly sure if what you're speaking. I know that there are some natural resource agencies planned for this North Mall. I believe it's State Park, Parks and Recreation,
Housing and Community Development.
And one other.
And one other, I can't remember.
Water Resources?
Or?
I think Water Resources.
Well, in the forestry budget, wasn't there a local building and then a Tillamook building?
Madam Chair, Representative Hayden, the Forestry Department adopted a long-range master plan that we've actually incorporated into that area that does include a number of projects, and they're kind of in the middle of completing that work. I'm frankly not too sure how the funding has proceeded or how it's scheduled from one biennia to another. But we have been reviewing, including with our design review people, the current construction of a operations building at the forestry complex on State Street. And
is that part of the Capital Commission?
Yes.
Jurisdiction?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So we're talking about two buildings.
There are two buildings for forestry.
One for natural resources and one for forestry.
Oh, and then actually there are
three.
There are three, and really the natural resources complex is three separate buildings itself.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay. We're going to take a 5-minute break and we'll come right back to you.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you.